Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, he played in the NBA for 10 years and for 9 teams. So he played with everybody from Bradley Beal to Chris Paul. He was coached by Doc Rivers, Ty Lue. So he's been around. Ryan Hollins is now joining us. He does some stuff for TNT as well. I'm going to get to Brooklyn and Westbrook in a second. I will start with a Warriors Lakers thought. And I'll set you up. My takeaway is there's a lot of blowouts in the NBA now, even in the playoffs, because of the three-point shot, where if you fall behind by 10 to 12 and you start shooting threes to get your way back into it and you're cold, these games become 24, 27-point games fast. The Lakers were terrible in the first half. LeBron played as poorly as he could. Dennis Schroeder was bad all night. Steph was amazing. And at the end of the night, the Lakers won. And Ryan, my takeaway was, man, when you can play poorly and win in the NBA playoffs, I would be encouraged this morning if I was a Laker fan. Your thoughts?
You got to be ecstatic if you're LeBron James, man, because ultimately they were rusty. You felt the national media, the energy behind Steph Curry, and it was a do or die game. LeBron James didn't know how he would look going in, and he pours out with a meager triple-double. But I tell you, from being in the locker room in those situations, when you know you didn't play well, when you relied on your defense, and you step away with a win, there's nothing like it. I remember playing in Memphis. I had the last bits of the grit and grind with Mark Gasol, who's on the Lakers now, and Zach Randolph and Conley and those boys. And we prided on ourselves on those type of performance. And it almost looks like, yes, the three ball is in, as you said, Colin, but ultimately, defense won last year's championship for LeBron James. This wasn't a team that was running and gunning and scoring in the 140s and 130s. This is a team that locked up and defended, and in a do-or-die game, it paid dividends.
You know, you look at Steph Curry. He is so magical. I do. If they win tonight, right, or if they win their, not tonight, but their next game, how do, Lakers threw everything at him. Nothing worked. Is there a way? I mean, everybody always used to force LeBron, I think, to his right hand. They wanted to force him right. There were certain places Kobe didn't want to be and certain places Kobe did want to be. How do you defend? Is there a book on Steph Curry?
Well, the one thing we used to do with the Los Angeles Clippers before they became Steph, the real Steph Curry and the two-time, three-time champs, whatever they were, we would send him to his right hand. For right-handed players, and when they hit a step back, normally Steph Curry's magic going to his left hand. So we'd send him right. He went and played in the Olympics, comes back, and he becomes a two-time MVP because he could go to his right well. He could go to his left. The one thing that you have to do, like any great player, and this is how we really define Steph as great, you got to have personnel to be able to play him. You've got to be quick enough and athletic enough where you have five guys who can switch that screen and roll with him and take him away. You got to have a Dellavedova type guy. If you guys don't forget what he did in the NBA Finals, that just harasses Steph, you know, 94 feet and climbs into his jersey and is disciplined enough not to foul out in the process. But ultimately, you got to have personnel. You got to have personnel to guard LeBron. You had to have personnel to guard Shaquille O'Neal when he was dominant. You had to have personnel to guard Kobe Bryant. So no different with Steph Curry. It's the personnel to be able to do it, Colin.
You know, Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the post. He wants to be a four. That's okay. You know, not a lot of guys want to go five back to the basket and deal with all that body slamming. Andre Drummond, that's his game. He's good with it. Do you think it's a little bit of a dilemma in the Laker locker room that the Lakers are best often when Anthony Davis is a five and he doesn't want to play the five?
No, it's an extreme concern because if you're going to go against a guy like Nikola Jokic, and the advantage would be Anthony Davis running Jokic up and down the floor, but if he's not interested in playing five and banging, you can't play him on the defensive end. Defensively, Anthony Davis doesn't want to be five. So that's where a problem can occur. And one thing Vogel does, that it kind of drives me crazy, and I know how important Anthony Davis is, When you run just drop four, which means you post him up all night long, I don't think that's Anthony Davis's advantage. When I had to guard Anthony Davis or when I watch him, he's a nightmare picking and popping, picking and rolling, playing off the elbows. When he's active, he is a different beast. Chime back to the NBA Finals last year. When Anthony Davis got on the block and rebounded, it was active. They couldn't do anything with him. Bam Adebayo, we know how great he is defensively, but between Dwight Howard and AD rebounding the basketball active and their activity, there just wasn't enough. But the one thing Drummond's going to have to do, who's like a little brother to me, we had him on a podcast, he's got to kill you with activity. I don't think any of the Laker bigs are ones that you just want to drop on the block, because Draymond, we saw last night, was able to guard him straight up.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis is a finesse. He's a touch big. He's not a grinder.
I want to talk Brooklyn Nets. So, listen, we know they have three of the best four or five offensive players in the game. Here's where I see the problems in the postseason. Number one is James Harden feels like, I got to prove something in the postseason. Sometimes psychologically, is he now? Kyrie's got a ring and Kevin Durant's got rings and James doesn't. So does James now get a little more ball centric, wanting to prove I'm good here too, not just regular season? The second thing I worry about Brooklyn is they haven't faced a lot of stress, right? Like what happens when you're down 2-1? And now there's people are ripping Kevin Durant. They're ripping Kyrie. And you get those voices in your head. You're hearing, okay, guy. Do you worry at all that they haven't faced that rough tunnel yet? And here it comes.
Here's the truth, Colin. The honest to God truth. If you're James Harden, when I played against him, you got to credit him. He's one of the smartest players I've ever played against. He's like the Money Mayweather of basketball. What I mean, he's a counterpuncher. If you back up, he shoots a three. If you're too physical with him, he flops, he takes the foul. James Harden is absolutely dynamic. The problem isn't James Harden. The problem is the defenses that they're going to face, okay? I played for Doc Rivers. I know how a Spoelstra can be in the playoffs. I've seen them in an Eastern Conference Finals. What they're going to do is deny the heck out of Kevin Durant. They're going to deny Kyrie Irving. And then say, James Harden, give me 40, give me 50 in a playoff scenario. I am face guarding Kevin Durant. There's a no leave rule. And if you're a team like a Milwaukee Bucks who has the personnel to guard him and can climb into him and frustration sets in, Colin, let's remember last year, you know, I'm a history major at UCLA. I'm a history major. I always like to look back. Kevin Durant was frustrated when playing with the Golden State Warriors because in that Houston series, he wanted to be Kevin Durant and go off, and they were denying him and putting bodies on him, and that could be a problem. Last year, take a look at who else? The Los Angeles Clippers. What happened with the Clippers? They didn't have enough time together in practice, not enough chemistry, and when things got really tight in the playoffs, they didn't know what to go to. It just ended up being Kawhi playing one-on-one and Paul George struggling because he had to do too much one-on-one.
Yeah, no, these are good points. Finally, I'm not a huge Westbrook fan. He doesn't have a feel that I like, but I will say this. You know, about 50% of his games in the playoffs look like the last one where it's kind of out of control. And then he usually rebounds and plays better. Bradley Beal will also be healthier tonight. So I like Washington tonight. I think they're a limited team, kind of dependent on their backcourt. But you are a bigger Westbrook fan than I am. I tend to think he lacks a feel for the game that I think the great guards have. I don't deny his athleticism. That would be ridiculous to deny. He's absurd. But you're more of a Westbrook guy than me.
All right, Colin, I can't disagree with your thoughts, okay? What he did was historical, and we didn't take that away, but he hasn't shown up when needed. But I want to give you some food for thought. Russell Westbrook, and hold on, hear me at home if you're watching. Russell Westbrook never had his Phil Jackson. He never had his Pat Riley. He didn't have his Spoelstra. Heck, he ain't even had a Steve Kerr. Russell Westbrook is a product of having to do too much on his own because he's that type of talent and never having the correct system around him. What would Tony Parker have looked like playing for the New York Knicks? Think about it. So Russell Westbrook, I believe in the proper system, would be a completely different type of player. And ultimately, here's the gosh darn truth, man. Championship's going to go through Kevin Durant. It's going to go through Steph Curry. It's going to go through LeBron James. And you got a whole lot of other stars that are just out there floating. But I believe Russell Westbrook, with the right coach, with the right system, with the right mentorship around him, would have made him a completely different player. I always give this example. LeBron James got to learn from Dwayne Wade, okay? Michael Jordan had Dean Smith, Pat Riley, James Worthy, we can go down the list, okay? When I was in Sacramento and I played with Boogie Cousins, there was only so much I could teach Boogie Cousins. Boogie, this is how you be a professional. Boogie, this is how you dive on the floor and make hustle plays. I couldn't teach Boogie Cousins how to be a superstar, man. Who was out there that could have taught Russell Westbrook how to truly play the position, that had the respect, that can really get his ear? And I don't want to make excuses. Colin, I'm just giving you some food for thought, man.
All right. Well, I disagree with all of it, but nonetheless, I appreciated the effort. I always like, I'm an effort guy. You give me the effort, I'm for it. Good seeing you, Ryan, as always.
Good to see you, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good
stuff. All right, Joy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
I know you love a good ranking, Colin.
Yeah.
The Athletic ranks the top five teams that improved the most this offseason.
All right.
Following the draft and free agency, I think you will find the list a little strange, because I certainly did. They noted that it was not necessarily a judgment on the value of these additions, but rather a look at who did the most to improve their short-term chances.
I disagree totally.
So they gave Washington the top spot.
Washington?
So they have them ranked Washington, New England, the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, and in fifth, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, their short-term chances is what they improved, they're focusing on. So at first I was like, how are the Jaguars not the most improved team? Like, they were the worst team, and now they have Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. Like, they're clearly the most improved based on how bad they were last year.
Right.
But their short-term chances, like, how much winning do we think Jacksonville's going to really do
seven
this year? Like,
seven
we think
games.
They're going to be better, but I still wouldn't put Washington first on this list. Like,
no,
even if I had these five teams to choose from, I would still put Cleveland at the top.
Yeah, Cleveland's one or two. Jacksonville.
Certainly New England I would have up there as well.
Yeah, but a lot of those free agents, I mean,
they had eight opt-outs last year. Cam's in the system for another year.
You could certainly put New England. I'd put Browns, Jags. I don't buy Washington at all. So the Jets are better now because they went and got a rookie quarterback.
And
by the way,
rookie head coach.
I'll just put it out there right now. Look at what Carolina did. They got more athletic at quarterback. Chuba Hubbard, now they have two explosive running backs. They went and got a left tackle, which is their issue. Like, I honestly think Carolina, an argument can be made, Carolina had as good a draft as anybody had. So, to me, it's Browns, Jags, Carolina, Patriots.
I just don't know, like, what significant did Washington do? They have Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starting quarterback. Like, what's significant?
They lost Ryan Kerrigan, so that's not good.
Well, they added Curtis Samuel.
That's a nice play. I like
Eric
him a lot.
Flowers.
Yeah, these are, I mean, Flowers.
Bobby McCain. Like, they had nice additions, but for them to be the most, to improve their chances the most in the short term, I still think it's the Browns by far. Like, they had the best offseason to me. So it's looking more and more like Aaron Rodgers will not be finishing his career in Green Bay. Peyton Manning obviously changed teams later in his career, but he's actually rooting for Aaron Rodgers to stay put. He said, I think every player, their goal is to stay with one team their entire time if they can. When I think of Aaron, I think of him as a Green Bay Packer. Hopefully they can get it worked out. I look forward to seeing him play this year somewhere.
You know, it's amazing how many great quarterbacks do not finish. Almost all of them do not finish with their team. Brady, Montana, Favre, Peyton.
It's actually
Montana.
More rare that you do.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Unitas didn't, Namath didn't. It's very rare when you stay. Now, the NBA, we think of it as the mobility league, but there's a lot. Now, the NFL has totally changed. March is one of the more fun months you and I have now. It's NFL free agency. Everybody's trading. So it's hard to find a great quarterback who stayed with the same team. Steve Young, you know, XFL or USFL.
It's historically, to your point, it's not that rare that great quarterbacks will move on towards the end of their career. Now, I don't know that Aaron is at the end of his career. I would certainly say he's right in his prime, maybe towards the end of his prime, but he just won the MVP. So I'm pretty sure he's still in his prime. I don't look at it as the end of his career, but add the additional mobility that you have in the NFL now. You add the lack of patience that we have for the quarterback position. You add the level of play coming in with rookies because they have so much more experience and reps coming into the league. Like the game has just changed when it comes to quarterbacks. Right. Certainly for free agency, we never used to talk about somebody like Aaron Rodgers moving on from the Green Bay Packers at this point. I still think he's going to play in Green Bay this year. Like the numbers don't make sense. The situation doesn't make sense unless something really drastic happens. I don't see him leaving this year. But next year, I think he's gone.
I think if you want to be Green Bay and you clearly don't think much of Jordan Love, all the indications are you don't, then restructure Aaron's deal, allowing you to get Julio Jones, who would be a great number two. You wouldn't need Julio to play 17 games because you got Devontae, you got Aaron Jones. I think Aaron would be really, really happy.
Yeah, I mean, if they restructure his deal, he's not going anywhere. But
we've said this before. Let's just state it again. If Jordan Love could play, you'd move on from the deal because according to Albert Breer, there's executives out there that think you could get Bradley Chubb and 3 first-round picks. Brett Favre got 1 third-round pick.
But even with that, you're never going to get fair value for the league MVP at the quarterback position.
You're not, but what you're going to get is not paying Jordan Love for 3 years so you can cheat the system like Cleveland with Baker, so you can just have Pro Bowlers. You can go.
Still don't have a quarterback.
Well, but again, if Jordan could play.
But he can't.
It doesn't.
By all accounts, he can't right now. So maybe he will after this year, and then you can make that decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. But I think this year, he's going to be there. So LeBron secured the Lakers' victory last night with a game-winning 3-pointer with less than a minute remaining. And Steph Curry summed up what he was thinking as he was watching that shot go in.
It's a great shot. Broken play. You know, that was a tough one because you don't really expect it to go in. You expect us to get the rebound, come down in transition, have a possession to take the lead. But, you know, everything changes when it goes in. You know, all-time great players make great shots. That's what happens.
LeBron. Sure sounds Curry and LeBron have gotten very buddy-buddy recently.
I don't think Steph Curry's leaving next year. Maybe after this next season.
Really certainly appear to appreciate each other's skills.
They are definitely... nothing would shock me anymore. Nothing would shock me. Everyone's head would explode if that happened, for sure, if LeBron and Steph Curry played together.
He actually could... You could make the argument he fits the Clippers better, who need a point guard and kind of a verbal leader at the end of games.
Oh, I can't. Steph Curry, a Clipper?
I'm not saying he wouldn't fit, but Steph likes the ball in his hands. He's also good off ball, but LeBron likes the ball in his hands. Listen. I got to tell you something.
They would figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Smart guys always do. They just figure...
And listen, obviously the Nets haven't won anything yet, but... It works. Like, regular season, it works. We've seen what they've...
Yeah.
Everyone had doubts about how that chemistry was going to work.
I'm fascinated. The Clippers and the Brooklyn Nets, I just can't wait to watch them. I'm telling you, if the Clippers go sideways, kabloom, they're blowing it up.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's... They're not going to change the coach.
They play Dallas. Ty Lewis. Joy, Dallas round one. Dallas can score. And Dallas is good late in the game. Close games, edge Dallas.
If the Bucks and the Clippers can't get out of the first round, they're going to look very different next year.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
You know, you don't get a lot of first round upsets in the NBA historically because there's 7 games. But last year, it was upset city. Why? Pandemic. This year, what do we have that's crazy? Condensed schedule. So if you're going to, generally speaking, there are no ups. I mean, Denver once beat Seattle. I think didn't the Heat beat the Knicks or something? There's been a couple of upsets in the NBA. But over 7 games, you know, if you wouldn't have any upsets in March Madness if Duke got to play a 13 seed 7 times, right? So you just don't get upsets. NFL, you get them. You know, baseball, sometimes you get them because of a pitcher gets injured on a good team.
The better, more talented team generally wins the series.
Always wins. But last year, it was rife with upsets because it was the pandemic and it was a different environment. Well, this year, everybody's hurt. So you got LeBron and Anthony Davis. These guys are literally a pivot away from going back to the injured list. So my guess is you're going to have like a Dallas shock the Clippers. And kablooey, it'll change everything.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's time to play Up, Down, and Sideways. Where do I think in this moment these playoff teams are going? Are they ascending? Are they kind of flat? Have they plateaued? Or are they headed down and overvalued?
The Philadelphia 76ers, up, down, or sideways?
I think they're up. First of all, Doc Rivers, really good fit. You had a chemistry issue, and Doc is very much a people person. So Tobias Harris, who Doc had with the Clippers, best year as a pro. Joel Embiid, all his numbers went up. I think Doc works with these guys. They're big personalities. They're stars. Doc is the Joe Torre of the NBA. He walks into the room. He's alpha enough. Stars respect him. I like where the Sixers are going.
The Brooklyn Nets, up, down, or sideways?
Down. The more I see of them, the less I like them. First of all, Kyrie, KD, and Harden played together in 5.8% of their games. So, that doesn't make... I mean, it's insane. You're like the Clippers last year. You're going to be building chemistry in the playoffs. Also, Harden's missed 21 of 24 games. I think he's ready to play, but we just don't know. Also, they've got an issue. The East has two of the best bigs in the game, Giannis and Embiid. They can't defend the post.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
I think they're trending up. I've been very critical, Joy, through the years, but Drew Holiday and PJ Tucker are veteran players, a lot of playoff reps. The Bucks led the NBA in scoring. I still think they're, like the Baltimore Ravens, better leading late than trailing, but I do like that we've largely dismissed them, and I think Giannis was better this year than last when he was MVP, and he's not going to get any votes for that. So I kind of like where they're at psychologically.
How about the New York Knicks?
Actually trending down. Let's slow it down. They have, of their entire roster, they've got 16 games of playoff experience. 12 are Nerlens Noel. This is a team built for the regular season. I think they're going to be in for a real battle against Atlanta. I like them to beat Atlanta. But there, I looked up Fox Bet this morning. They're an underdog in that series. So let's slow down. Tibbs teams, they grind. They win a lot in the regular season. Then they get exposed a little in the postseason. I think the Knicks will get exposed either during the Atlanta series or quickly after.
The Miami Heat.
It's sideways, very dependent on Jimmy Butler. When Jimmy Butler plays, they're great. When he doesn't, they're bad. What I keep saying is this guy's an MVP. It's very much like Steph. He's not on the floor. Golden State's terrible. So if he, because I don't think Bam can lead you or Tyler Hero. This team is all about Jimmy Butler. The coaching is very good. The shooting is good. But remember, he three games this year against the Bucks, he didn't play in any of them. So again, what do I get? I've got to watch the series.
Phoenix Suns.
I think they're trending up. I think they have to be very happy. First of all, they're a little contrarian to the league. Their starters all played almost all the games. Secondly, they're the best mid-range shooting team in 20 years. They shot 48% from mid-range. So they go against the math. They're a little young to get to the next level this year, but I think they remind me a little bit of Utah. They play hard. They have a system that I think you can win games here, but they're more athletic than Utah, especially in the wing area. So I like where they're going. I just don't think they're ready for the ultimate destination yet.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
I think the Lakers are trending up. I mean, let's be honest about this. Number one defensive rating, held the Warriors to 21 points in the fourth. It's a health issue, but I don't think Dennis Schroeder could play worse than last night. I don't think LeBron could play worse than last night. And for them, it's a matter of now they'll be at least evenly rested to the teams they play. So I think they're fine. They will look different next year. Andre Drummond won't be here.
The Clippers.
Clippers are sideways, all based on the series. So here's the good news. Second best offensive rating in league history. Here's the bad news. Second fewest clutch points. So I just have to watch them play. We know they're talented. We know Ty Lue's a good coach. We know Kawhi's get a bucket, get a stop guy. But sometimes you just have to see a team play. I would really be concerned, much like Brooklyn, they're going to try and solve their problem in the playoffs. Clippers are a bad late game team. I don't know how you solve that against the best players and coaches. So I'm going to watch this Dallas series and revisit up, down, sideways.
The Warriors.
I think they're kind of trending down. I don't think James Wiseman is on Steph's timeline. I think they're completely Steph dependent. In fact, I looked up a number this morning. When Steph was on the floor this year, they're plus 248. When he's off the floor, they're minus 175. So if Klay Thompson comes back and is not 24 a game Klay, what are they? Wildly expensive. Draymond, Steph, Klay, Wiggins. That's $140 million in salary cap. You've got to implode this thing. So I worry. The Lakers need LeBron. But when Anthony Davis played well and LeBron was gone, they won games. I mean, KD's important. Nets won a lot of games without him. Warriors are solely dependent on Steph Curry. M-Drive, use it every day. Check out mdriveformen.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Refind your prime. We're all aging. Don't let it define you. So we got the Wizards tonight and Pacers. So Pacers are very much an effort team, kind of a low ceiling. Bradley Beal banged up against the Celtics, little healthier. Westbrook rebounds. His fanboys rush to social media to shame me. I'll take the, what's the line? I'll take the Wizards by about 4 tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow. Speak for Yourself is next.